radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer. This is episode 119, recorded on Sunday, April 7th from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we're going to talk about our latest election in Wisconsin. Did you vote, Jason?
I did.
Good. And what that potentially means for Biden in November. But first, the headlines.
I got along with him well, although he did announce the other day that he'd much rather see Biden as president. And I agree with him. I agree.
First up in headlines, obviously we were off last week. We took off for the Easter holiday and we missed a lot of news, one of which the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
Yeah, that was really crazy and sad.
And basically the story, if anyone doesn't know, a large freight cargo ship lost power while it was in the harbor. This was about 1 a.m. and it ran directly into one of the pylons for the bridge, causing the bridge to collapse. Luckily, it was 1 a.m. and there was not much traffic on the bridge. Unfortunately, there was a crew repairing potholes on the bridge where I believe 6 of the 8 workers from that crew are believed dead.
Correct. There were 8 initially, but then they found
two of them were rescued.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the cargo ship did alert the port that they had lost power, so they were able to stop traffic from going onto the bridge at one point. They did radio the crew, but I mean, they had like 1 minute
right
until the ship hit the bridge. There's video out there. What did Republicans and conservatives have to say about this collapse, about this failure of infrastructure in America? What was the cause? Of course, it was DEI. The new right-wing boogeyman, cause of all of life's problems. Utah State Rep and running for Utah Governor Phil Lyman posted on Twitter, "This is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens."
That's just a bonkers thing. I can't imagine, I can't imagine something more racist, but the fact that you're immediately going to, there's too many like black people and women who are working on the bridge, therefore the bridge fell.
Right.
I can't believe that line of reason. Because that's, again, now every time something happens now, this is where they go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's baffling to me that this is immediately where they go now.
And that tweet was in response. He retweeted the Young Conservative Federation, which is a Christian nationalist group, who posted, "Let's meet the commissioners for the Port of Baltimore, starting with Karen Thea A. Barber. She knows nothing about ports, but she is a diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging auditor and consultant," and posted a picture of
her.
Yeah, Karen Thea, who is, surprise, a black woman.
So I would just want to ask.
So it's her fault.
That's what I want to just ask the Young Conservatives. What was it? Young Conservative Federation. What the hell was she supposed to do?
Stop the boat. Physically.
This is blowing my freaking mind. Like, what were you expecting?
What could they have done differently?
Like, what I'm just trying to figure out right now is that, okay, so there was that earthquake that happened in New York, New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is like looking at that and saying, hey, because we have like black architects and black like civic engineers,
city planners.
Yeah. Right. That's why the earthquake happened.
Right.
It's not even like that the like building, so it's that the earthquake happened and that's what we have to blame DEI for. That's what this is. Like, yes, it's awful that this happened. We can try to find someone to blame because that's what always people try to do in tragic situations. I totally understand that and I want to empathize with that. But then to blame DEI is insane.
Well, it's when televangelists blame natural disasters on people being gay.
Yes.
Which happens all the time.
So I thought you were going to say demons. I'm like, that at least sounds more logical to me. At least you have like Christian beliefs to like demons causing things than like DEI causing a bridge collapsing.
And some other prominent conservative voices had different theories. We have both Andrew Tate, noted conservative thought leader and human trafficker and rapist, currently awaiting trial in Romania, posting, "This ship was cyber attacked. Lights go off and it deliberately steers towards the bridge supports."
Deliberately, because he knows.
Right, he saw it. "Foreign agents of the USA attacked digital infrastructures." And that tweet was responded to by another leader of the conservative movement, Alex Jones. who said,
"Looks deliberate to me. A cyber attack is probable. World War III has already started."
That was pretty good. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't do Alex Jones for very long. It really, really hurts.
So, okay. Again, hear me out, man. This sounds like, logically speaking, a better jump to make than the DEI jump. It's still really stupid.
Right. And has zero evidence. And it's right. Just addled brains that are just trying to sell fear.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what we talk about. You know, and I was thinking about this literally on the way over here, is the new defense from conservatives now is, liberals just call everything a conspiracy theory now. Everything's a conspiracy theory. And my thought was, because you keep doing that.
Right. Because literally everything has conspiracy theories within minutes of right. any event happening. There's 100 conspiracies online, and they're being promoted by very popular influencers.
Well, and like we're doing right now.
And they're conservatives. I'm right. sorry, they are. They didn't used to be. I would have said 15 years ago, I would have said that most of the conspiracy theories come more from like the left and more from like that kind of spiritualist, weirdo, like hippie side of things. But these days, no, it's 100% a conservative. I don't even know. Tool? I don't, why? Well, okay, so why do I think they're doing this? Why do I think this is such a prominent thing that's going on right now? At least in this instance, I think it's definitely to distract from the real issues that are at play here. Like, we had the train derailment in East Palestine.
Which was a conspiracy, supposedly.
Right.
By Biden.
And it's because the passenger, the shipping company, these are the same shipping companies, are trying to make more money by having less people, less staff on those trains, and these accidents happen. We have, one, an aging infrastructure in America. The Francis Scott Key Bridge was designed in 1972, and I looked it up. Large cargo ships were almost 10 times smaller then than they are today. So they don't have those buffers and things that are in place.
That's what I heard a lot, is that this bridge was just not also meant to deal with cargo ships that as big as what was passing. And
its day.
Right. But I'm saying, this is what happens when like one of modern days like boats hits it. Like,
right.
It's just not meant for it.
They're boats that are 10 times bigger than they were
literally
when that bridge was built.
It's physics. It's science.
Right. And, you know, we need to invest more in the infrastructure and do things like update some of the safety buffers that are around these supports for these bridges.
How do we do that though, Jason? Where would we get the funds to do that? Right.
Who's going to pay for it? It's not going to be the shipping companies. And also the need for government regulation and inspections of these boats. You know, it's not a cyber attack. It's just a poorly maintained ship because, the company does not value diversity. I'm sorry. They value profit
right.
over safety. That's the problem.
Well, and keep in mind as well, is like these companies who also supposedly value diversity are also ones who are doing it just for show.
Right. It's in search of profit.
Right. Exactly. So the second it's not profitable, and actually we're seeing this right now where, I don't know if you've seen it, but like there are now new reports about how like DEI departments and companies actually have been going down significantly since the attacks on DEI have been going on, and it's because they don't care.
Yeah, it was never the point.
Right. I mean, also we can also say that
it's just PR.
Right. These also are same departments that can also just like rephrase how they're assigning these departments to something else, right? Like there's nothing like saying it has to be called DEI.
Well, and even the idea that these departments and parts of these companies have anything to do with actual diversity. No, it's just like HR, right? It's like people that literally think HR somehow works for them individually. No, they work for the company.
Literally.
It's all about trying to protect the company from lawsuits. And that's exactly what all of this is. It's all just within corporate interests. None of it is in the interests of the people or their employees. That is lunacy. There would be no reason for it. And it just does not happen. And we heard from Joe Biden that, you know, he wants federal funding to rebuild this bridge, which, fine, I do believe the bridge should be rebuilt as quickly as possible. We need to, you know, rebuild it to modern day standards.
Well, hey, I heard from a really smart guy who owns a social media platform that we can just
reuse the steel. Yeah, which, of course, you can't once it's been under that kind of stress. It cannot be reused. And also reclaiming and reusing that steel would be much more expensive than just using new steel.
Okay, but
Elon Musk is an idiot.
Okay, but do you know this guy invented Tesla and electric cars?
Yeah, he invented it.
You know he invented space travel?
And batteries.
And batteries.
But again, so, you know, who's going to pay for this? It's going to come from the people. And that's the problem with our version of capitalism that we're using in this country.
Is that you have private companies and corporations constantly cutting corners, doing things horribly.
Making billions of dollars.
Right. And then expecting the government to come clean up the mess. And then literally then have the people who are voting in the government saying, we don't like our taxes being used to like just constantly clean up our infrastructure. That's never getting better. Well, you know why it's not getting better.
Yeah, because no one else is going to pay for it.
Right.
We need to tax these companies at a much higher rate and use that money to fix our infrastructure and to do things like inspect their, you know, 9,000 ton cargo ships that are using our waters. That's the problem. They're using public resources and making billions of dollars in profit and assuming none of the risk when something like this happens and they destroy a multi-billion dollar bridge and kill people in the process. Well, the federal government steps in and pays for it all.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. Why are we taking on all of the risk for these public companies or for these private companies who are not sharing any of the profit even with their own employees?
Yep.
And that's the real problem. And all of these stupid conspiracy theories just distract from that. And I think it's almost designed to.
And then let's give an update, since we actually mentioned him. Free speech champion, Elon Reginald Musk. I don't know if that's his middle name.
Probably not. It's probably Elon Apartheid Musk.
Who literally just had his crusade lawsuit thrown out. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
So Elon Musk's lawsuit against the Center for Countering Digital Hate, which we actually reported on a couple episodes ago when Elon...
Probably about a month or two ago.
Yeah, well, when Elon was our topic of the day. That lawsuit has been thrown out by U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer in San Francisco, who in a 52-page ruling said, quote, "Sometimes it is unclear what is driving a litigation, and only by reading between the lines of a complaint can one attempt to surmise a plaintiff's true purpose. Other times, a complaint is so unabashedly and vociferously about one thing that there can be no mistaking that purpose."
I'm just going to say that's a pretty bad run-on sentence. Come on, what are you doing, buddy?
"This case represents the latter circumstance. This case is about punishing the defendants for their speech."
Oh, really?
Free speech warrior Elon Musk tries to silence the speech of the Center for Countering Digital Hate because they said that digital hate has increased tremendously on Twitter ever since Elon Musk bought it. And because of that, Elon Musk sued them by saying they're just trying to scare advertisers away from the platform.
And I'm gonna argue, like, even then, this is where your free speech absolutism gets you. Like, point blank. Like, this is what happens, where you try to say, like, I'm a free speech defender, we need to have as much free speech as possible. You need to allow people who are gonna attack your platform, man.
And also, just demonstrably true. And well, that's right. That's who they are.
Well, and that's the thing. Let's be real here. I mean, obviously, like, knowing our show at this point, it's not much of a secret. It's just BS. That's all it is. He is just a professional bullshitter, and that's all he has ever been. We talked about that in that same episode where he just flounders left and right during the Don Lemon interview. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's just sucked so far down the rabbit hole that he just wants to be praised all day long and just be told he's right.
We talked about it on the last episode. Elon Musk is a hypocrite. He does not stand for the things that he says he stands for. Once again, it's all about hype. It's all about making money. That's him. He is a huge narcissist, and he just says the things that he thinks his sycophants want to hear.
Right.
But
and believes there's no consequences to it either.
And he seems to just love lawsuits. Suing people, getting sued. He seems to enjoy it.
Real Trumpy.
Speaking of which, let's move on to our next headlines, where we will talk about Donald Trump.
We got a couple things to talk about with him.
Yeah, first, an update from our last episode where we talked about the upcoming deadline for his $450 million bond. So. And I did say on that episode that I thought that the most likely outcome of that was that he was going to find a judge to lower it. And that is exactly what happened. And in fact, he found a judge that was way more friendly to him than even I expected, because not only did the bond get lowered to $175 million, which reportedly Trump has already found a company to post that bond, the judge also stayed the 3-year bars against Donald Trump for applying for loans from New York financial institutions, the 2-year ban against Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump from serving as officers or directors in New York companies, and the permanent ban against former Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg and controller Jeff McConney from serving in financial control positions in New York businesses. So all of that has been overturned.
Well, stayed technically, but...
Right. While waiting for appeal.
Right. And that's
insane. Is a lot. Yeah. And especially they ran a fraudulent organization that was ruled and they're just appealing that ruling. And well, they can just keep running other businesses. And this not even the first fraudulent business. Right. They run their charity also got shut down because they were taking money from veterans. That's ridiculous. How, again, our country is so tilted in favor of these rich ass. You know, the guillotine was invented for a reason. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I don't know how rich he can be because now Trump's been selling Bibles as well.
Yeah,
what was it, $60 for?
$60 for the God Bless the USA Bible.
Yeah.
Trump just completely going against the idea of separation of church and state, going against the idea of not establishing a state religion, which is in our Constitution.
Right. Well, and what did it have in the... It had the...
Oh, we'll hear it. I've got a clip.
Oh, great. I'm super excited.
Let's hear Donald Trump trying to hawk his Bibles right now.
This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our Founding Father documents. Yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible. And it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God. We must defend God in the public square and not allow the media or the left-wing groups to silence, censor, or discriminate against us. We have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before.
So there you have it. Currently running for president.
Okay, every time we hear him, every single time, I can't get over how horrible of a salesperson he is and how bad he is at just talking. And then I'm thinking like, okay, but people are eating this up.
Yeah, they love it.
And then it just depresses me. I'm like, how could this persuade you? What a rambling mess.
We're under attack like never before.
But even it's like, it's so trans. Okay, maybe I'm biased. I don't know, but it's so transparent. It's like hawkish. That's all it is. It's just, well, and you know, we love God. We love God. It's
we love him, don't we, folks?
It's my favorite book. I don't know what you're talking about. It's my favorite book. All right. We love God.
Many people are saying they love their Bibles.
Oh, my God.
We need to defend God in the public square. That weak ass bitch God needs us to defend him. He needs Donald Trump to defend him in the public square.
Well, that's why people on January 6th literally brought nooses with, like, saying, praise Jesus on them. when they're about to hang Mike Pence. They're defending God in the public square.
So this is literally the current Republican candidate for president trying to establish a state religion in the United States.
My other favorite part about this is that
many people don't read their constitution. Apparently also not Donald Trump.
Hey, he's got a lot of Bibles, man. He's got a lot of Bibles. It's his favorite book. Also, because of that, like, one of my favorite things about this is that older clip from Bloomberg has been recirculating now, where they were asking him about, like, his...
What's your favorite book in the Bible? Yeah. All of them.
Yeah. Are you Old Testament or New Testament guy? Both of them. I'm very neutral. It's just, it's so dumb. And it makes me angry that it's so dumb.
Well, and it's so transparent. It's such pandering. I know. Pandering.
That's what makes me angry. Oh. And again, it's not even like...
If Donald Trump has a God, it's himself.
Sure. I can't get over the fact, like, it's not even that we're like, we disagree with him type of thing anymore. It's like, it's so stupid. I can't see even how conservatives are like, that's my God.
Or how can you have now, there's conservative atheist organizations that are backing Donald Trump. How can you do that? And this, like, the number one issue to atheists is separation of church and state. You don't want to be ruled over by a theocracy.
Right.
And you're supporting a candidate who is openly asking
for theocracy.
Yes. And saying that that is exactly what he's going to do.
Right. Also, we should talk about exactly what's going to be in this Bible. So Trump mentioned it a little bit. So we have the Constitution,
the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights,
the Pledge of Allegiance,
which, you know, it's not the original Pledge of Allegiance either.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's post 1950s.
Yeah.
And then the King James Bible,
right,
which is one of the most discredited
translations
of the Bible. Although I'm wondering, like, that can't be a copyright thing, can it? Because even I say even better versions of the Bible have to be outside of copyright.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it also has handwritten lyrics of "I'm proud to be an American."
Well, and I'm sure God Bless the USA, right? Because this is like, it's in partnership with Lee Greenwood.
Yeah.
And it's the God Bless the USA Bible.
Oh.
So it is ridiculous. It is so just openly a money-making scheme for Donald Trump. And they'll probably sell millions of these things.
I almost want one. I almost want. Just like the same reason why I have my David Barton Bible. I almost want one of these too.
I mean, this will go right along with your Make America Great Again hat and your Trump teddy bear. This guy can sell some junk. As bad of a salesman as he obviously is, and like as openly, transparently ridiculous.
And with my 84 JPEGs.
He's still, you put it right next to your Let's Go Brandon bumper sticker on your truck.
Well, the fact that you have literal Trump brick and mortar stores that are around the country where like all they do is just sell Trump merchandise. And granted, yes, are those people just crazy fans of this? Absolutely. There should not be. Could you imagine having Biden stores?
Joe Biden.
Or Barack Obama stores? That sounds crazy, man. Ugh.
We're not done yet. We also have Truth Social recently went public. The social media platform that really has one user that anyone cares about.
Right.
It opened at $49.90 per share.
Big opening.
Right. Which it's worth more than Harley-Davidson is. For those of you in Wisconsin, that is ridiculous. Trump is going to die. They do know that, right? Like, there's one person on there that anyone follows. And what happens to this company when he dies? It was at a high of $79.38 on March 26th. And the most recent closing, Friday, April 5th, it closed at $40.59, $10 below where it opened at. It has been fluctuating up and down since then. Why has it been fluctuating up and down like that? Well, the company reported a net loss of $58.2 million on a revenue of only $4.1 million in 2023.
Smartest businessman, hires the smartest people.
And he's going to ditch, he can't ditch his stock for 6 months.
Oh.
From when it went public, but that's what he's going to do, is immediately ditch his stock, move off of Truth Social, go back to Twitter, and all those idiots that are the same people buying these Bibles that own this Truth Social stock are going to be left holding the bag.
Well, I even saw Tim Pool bought a bunch of Truth Social stock.
Not surprising. So might as well light that money on fire. And in a related story, Trump is suing the co-founders of Truth Social in an attempt to take their stock. In papers filed last week in Florida State Court, Trump Media and Technology Group Corp. argued that executives Wes Moss and Adam Letinsky, who Trump met when they were former Apprentice contestants.
Shut up.
made a series of costly mistakes that resulted in a long delay in the company's going public and urged a judge to strip them of their shares in the company.
He hires the best people from his game show.
If you are in business with Donald Trump, you deserve this.
100%.
How could you not see this coming?
Oh my God. Again, man, I know I'm going to keep saying this until the day I die. And we're going to talk about this 40 years in the future when this is in the history books. But like, yeah, you guys, I had no idea what was going on. There's this. We literally couldn't get more slapping you in the face.
And this is somebody who very well might once again be the president of our country.
Yeah, it's a very good chance. Oh, okay, I'm done with Donald Trump. We're moving on. Let's go on to our last story, which is the Ronna McDaniel NBC story.
Ronna McDaniel Romney?
Yes, who gave her name up to appease Donald Trump. Damn it, I told you I didn't want to talk about Donald Trump anymore. So for those of you who didn't know, and actually it's already over, which is kind of crazy, but this is what happens when you skip a week, man. It just things go by so fast. NBC chose to hire former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as an NBC correspondent. And after tons of backlash, including from several people or several of their own correspondents on live air, they have now reversed their decision. So good, but at the same time, this is why we still have this type of problem.
Michael Steele?
Yes.
The RNC chair previously. Yeah, I mean, they keep doing this. All of these.
Leah McEnany.
Supposedly liberal news stations just constantly hire Republican officials and people that are in Republican administration to be on air personalities.
Right. They had Leah McEnany, I think, be on CNN for a long time as a conservative person. That was one of the Trump communications directors or press secretaries who would just straight up was lying worse than Kellyanne Conway all day long. You had, I think, was it Rick Scott? I think was also on or is still on as well. Like, they just hired the craziest freaking people for entertainment value so they can just spew more nonsense all day long.
And we're not talking about, like, just having them on because you want to have, like, a counterpoint to some argument or whatever. That's fine. This we're talking about hiring these people.
Yes.
To work for your news organization.
Yes.
That you know we're spreading misinformation to the public. That's what their job was.
Well, let's talk about Ronna McDaniel because she was interviewed right before she was officially hired.
So this was right after it was announced that she was going to be Kristen Welker's co-host on Meet the Press.
But Kristen didn't know
that. Yeah, and she didn't know when they booked this, she thought she was just going to be on as a guest. So then she took the opportunity to
grill the hell out of her.
To really stick it to her.
And again, this is where Ronna just blatantly, like, just said the quiet part out loud, where Kristen asked her, like, very point blank, how can we trust you as a source for anything if you are just blatantly lying about the 2020 election? Do you still believe that the 2020 election happened? Like, what's going on here? And she just goes, well, Kristen, as you know, like, as the RNC chair, you just gotta take the hits sometimes. I'm sorry, what does that mean?
Right.
Like, and she just admitted live and air, yeah, I had to lie because that was my job. My job was to lie. And if that meant lying about stealing the election and literally subverting our own democracy, oh, well, that was just the job I had to do. Yeah, but I'm better now. It's all good.
Right.
I'm
you not can in trust that me.
Job. Yeah. Screw off. Like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why would, I mean, again, I know why NBC would, because she's a big name in politics, even on the Republican side, and they have all that stupid centrist bullshit who are trying, like, leading their executive decision making.
Right. So that's the thing. When everyone talks about, oh, the left media, media is on the left. No, they're not. The media in the United States is 100% centrist. They're all run by huge corporations.
Right.
Do you think huge corporations are going to put up actual leftist voices that are going to talk about how they're horrible, evil?
And I was just going to say, I'm sorry. So where's, like, the hardcore leftist voices right. that CNN is having right. on all the day long?
Mehdi Hassan, who they fired.
Ooh. Was it, or like Don Lemon? Ooh, like, come on. It's ridiculous.
All it took was, hey, it looks like Israel's doing a genocide in Palestine to get every genuine, somewhat left-leaning voice fired.
Well, and even when you look at MSNBC, right? The supposed place Ronna was going to end up going. You had Chuck Todd, Chris Hayes, and Rachel Maddow. And if those are your hardcore leftists, right. get out of here. Like, that deserve to have a counterbalance of Ronna freaking McDaniel. No, absolutely not. And but again, this is also why, and I want to do an episode about this someday. I hardcore argue, do not watch any type of cable news outlet. It is not worth your time. They are entertainment first before anything else.
It's all about selling ads.
Right. So, and they will intentionally do stuff like this just to get some kind of like argument going that will enthrall you. This is why you had like Ann Coulter in the 2000s, right? It's everyone hated Ann Coulter. She had no value to give, but they had her on all day long because she was someone who would just argue and just make other hosts angry.
Well, and they say sensationalist things, which that's what gets people to watch. That's what sells ads.
Right.
Which is what it's all about.
Right. And it absolutely distorts the issues at hand. And they do that intentionally. Mm-hmm. Drives me nuts, man. I'm so angry that they would even consider doing this. And again, I'm glad that they ended up reversing it. But the fact that they had to have so much backlash to even reverse this makes me even angry to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it proves the lie of the leftist media. They are not in any way, shape, or form on the left.
Right. Absolutely.
M&M's will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous, until the moment you wouldn't want to have a drink with any one of them. That's the goal. When you're totally turned off, they've won.
Boy, ain't right.
And for Fox in the Head this week, we're a little behind schedule, so forgive us, but Easter happened. Jason, how was your Easter?
It was fine. I had everyone over here for Easter, so, well, my wife's family anyway. I was exhausted after Easter was over.
You know what we did? We did Korean barbecue.
That was a much better idea.
But here's the real question, though, Jason. How trans was your Easter?
I mean, it was pretty pastel. That's the trans flag is pastel, right? So pretty trans.
Okay. I want that to be the new, I know, okay, we are two straight white guys. You were talking about this, but I want that so hard to be the new answer to, like, hey, how trans are you? Are you trans? I'm pretty pastel. I love that. Well, if you didn't know at home, conservatives everywhere lost their minds because Joe Biden has officially made Easter transgender. That bastard.
Thanks, O'Biden.
Sorry, now that you said O'Biden, just made it sound really Irish, and I don't like that.
He is really Irish.
I know, that's why it sounded racist. For those of you who don't know, on last Sunday? Was it last Sunday?
Yes, it was last Sunday, Joe.
Last Sunday was Easter, but also it was March 31st, which was simultaneously meaning that it was transgender Day of Visibility. Joe Biden has been the first president to ever offer proclamations, and he's done so since he has been elected into office every year for Trans Day Visibility. However, this year, it happened to correspond with Easter Sunday, and Fox News freaked the hell out. Let's take a listen.
Now to this. Critics say Biden and the woke mob are taking a swipe at Christians this Easter. This year, Easter Sunday falls on Transgender Visibility Day, which is traditionally on March 31st. But this year, not only did Fairfax County, Virginia make an official proclamation for Easter Sunday, so did President Biden. Biden was the first president ever to issue an official proclamation for Transgender Day of Visibility. And this was back in 2021. And in his proclamation this year, he said, quote, "Today, we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong. You are America, and my entire administration and I have your back." The Fairfax County Board making a similar proclamation this week.
I'm just very happy that we're recognizing a community that has too often been pushed into the shadows and celebrating yet another community within our diverse tapestry here in Fairfax County.
Fascist.
That bastard.
Christians are under assault.
I cannot.
Who will defend God in the public square?
We need our Bible salesman now. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I can't stress more, you guys. You're supposed to be angry at what those were.
About inclusion.
Yeah. You're supposed to be angry that Joe Biden was talking about love and respecting, saying that you are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And that this other guy from Fairfax County is saying, yeah, we appreciate it and we wanted to support them. You're supposed to be pissed. Yeah. Are you pissed, Jason?
I'm so angry right now.
Oh. So let's hear their response to those very innocuous and, you know,
those inflammatory, yeah, anti-Christian sentiments.
Let's see what they have to say. They're a super nuanced take.
Okay, so this day actually goes back to 2010. And when President Biden first made this proclamation back in 2021, that year Easter was on April 4th. Except this year, they both happen on the same day, Lisa.
But it's also a random day created by a random person out of Michigan in the same way that I could declare March 30th is the day of Lisa. The White House also banned religious-themed designs from the White House Easter egg art contest, when the whole point of Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a religious holiday, a religious celebration. To celebrate the day of trans visibility in and of itself is an affront to Christianity, because the Bible says that God made man and he made woman. He made male and female. To say otherwise is to deny the truth, is to deny God's creation. Also, to do it on Easter is blasphemous. You can even go back to the last trans day of visibility in 2023. He celebrated after Christian individuals were murdered by a trans person at the Covenant School in Nashville. And then the White House proceeded to go on and say that it was the trans community under attack, not Christianity. So I am so sorry that I believe that Joe Biden understands the optics of it, and he is doing this intentionally, and he is thumbing his nose at Christians and Easter, and he's essentially spitting in the face of Christians everywhere.
I love the conservative version of Joe Biden so much more than the actual real version of Joe Biden. The conservative vision of Joe Biden is like this badass.
He just sees a cross and just steps right on it, you know? Just
if that was the real Joe Biden, like, oh man, I would have actually voted for him last week.
So let's break this down a little bit. First off.
First. Let me just ask you, Joe, what is Easter, right? It's a Christian holiday. She's convinced it's a Christian holiday. Why is it called Easter? What does that have to do with Jesus?
Because that's his middle name.
I thought it was Horatio.
Dang it!
Easter, Astara, is a pagan god. Easter, why do we have we decorate Easter eggs.
And we have the Easter bunny.
Things that have nothing to do with Christianity. They're pagan fertility festivals. Rabbits, they mate.
A lot.
Eggs, symbol of fertility. It's a symbol
of... I thought you were going to say eggs mate a lot, too.
it's a symbol of the rebirth of the world in spring. That's what Easter is.
Yes.
It's just a spring fertility festival. Christianity jumped onto it because it was already popular, so they wanted to co-opt. It's the same thing with Christmas, Christmas being the winter solstice festival. So to say that it is an affront to Christianity and blasphemous
that it's even done on this day
is ignoring all of history and being the stupidest, most stereotypical American Christian that you possibly could be, which is appropriate for Fox News. But I would hope that some of us know a little better than that.
Well, okay. And then now I'm going to go into what I was going to say, which is basically, let's talk about how holidays are made for a second.
It's just made up.
Oh, really? They're just made up. You got it. They're all right. Made up. Are we really going to throw a lot of shots at the holiday that at least is on the same day every single year, where Easter is on the liturgical calendar and it's just constantly moving around all the time?
Yeah, it has to do with moons and stuff.
Yeah. Get out of here. Like Easter came out into Trans Visibility Day. All right. It was not the other way around. Screw off.
Right.
It's so stupid. And again, like that's what I'm talking about, too. Like how stupid they actually are, where they'll say, well, it's just holiday. It's just a made-up holiday. Yeah, that's how holidays work. Are you really that freaking stupid? And then, of course...
Not like our holiday where the guy came out of a crypt. Oh,
and you shut your mouth because that's about to happen the next club. But also, she just gives...
That's very real and really happened.
She just she gives the game away also. And again, really says the quiet part out loud.
And then he hid the eggs. I'm not sure what order that went in, but... It's something with chocolate, too. I don't know.
The fact that they say you cannot be trans at all, or you cannot celebrate the idea of someone who is just... Because, okay, let's also talk about what Trans Visibility Day is as well. Literally what Trans Visibility Day is saying, hey, we exist. Stop killing us. And let's celebrate who we are as a community. That's literally what Trans Visibility Day is. It has a very actually rich history of the holiday. I recommend looking it up itself. But then to say, hey, we exist at all as people is an affront to my religion. You're giving the game away. This is why people are leaving Christianity in droves. How can you say that and then not immediately think, oh, I'm the bad guy here?
Well, and then bring up the one instance that you know of where a trans individual innocent people, never a good thing.
Oh, and
but
we
won't
this
talk about the thousands of times that trans individuals were killed because of who they are.
But it's not even that. When she
like,
was
well, they're the real victims.
Right.
They're the ones under attack where those just that one time, not the thousands and thousands of right. times it happens.
But even in that incident, we talked about the incident when it happened.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, when she was referencing, oh, and Biden said the trans community was under attack and not Christians. Yeah, it's because literally how like Fox News and conservatives and Republicans do all the time, especially with Muslim attackers as well, is every time it's something like a trans person or a Muslim or anybody from a group that they don't like, they use it to say this entire group is evil and should be exterminated. And then we say, hey, but what about the fact that it's a school shooting that it just happened again? This person shouldn't have had guns. They had bad mental health issues. No. We're going to ignore all of that.
Right.
So yes, the trans community was under attack because this was literally used to weaponize against the trans community, saying that they're all evil, horrible, demonic people who are just going to kill your kids in schools. Yes, Joe Biden tried to defend the trans community when you were trying to say that about the trans community. So screw off. And if it gets even stupider, because I'm so glad you said that one bit because you just previewed our next clip. The next person in here just goes off the rails even crazier. Let's take a listen.
Isn't Joe Biden Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I'm with Lisa. This is not a thing. It was made up. It's like Kwanzaa. It was made up by somebody to do something. Who are they appealing to? There are roughly 1.6 million or so people in the U.S., according to some reports, that identify as transgender. Where are they going? But here's what they've done. They're gaslighting the American people because of the coincidence of this made-up day versus an actual day that means something to billions of people worldwide, not just here in the United States. They want us talking about them. And this whole thing with the Easter egg hunt, now I've been to a few of those. It's a lot of fun. You eat a lot of too many eggs. But part of it was people expressing themselves. So now the government, under the Biden auspice, will tell you that you can't present a religious, First Amendment, a religious imagery on an egg. I mean, again, this is this. I'm even more cynical than Lisa. This is gaslighting.
I was trying to be calm.
Yeah, how could you be that calm? Because I know you're not. No, but seriously, they're just gaslighting us into this topic. This is false, just like this quote, day of visibility. You're visible every other day of the year.
So as token black commentator, who is apparently racist against his own race, because he had to bring up Kwanzaa.
Oh my God.
As made up.
It was just made up.
As opposed to, again, Christmas, which was totally real and not just a repurposing of a pagan holiday, which we've already talked about. Totally real, totally really happened. It's totally on December 25th. No, even in the Bible, contradictory passages as to what time of year it might have been.
Uh-huh.
Totally real, not like Kwanzaa, completely made up. And of course, Easter egg. The point of an Easter egg hunt, by the way, is not to eat the eggs. Like, that's gross.
So let's quickly talk, because now both people have talked about it now. They're referencing the White House Easter egg hunt, where a bunch of, like, thousands of people will come in and do an Easter egg hunt on, like, the White House premises, right? Those are usually all painted and offered by tons of different people from all around that's asked by the White House. And since the 1970s, the Nixon administration, they have not allowed religious symbols to be used because, man, separation of church and state is a bitch.
It's an attack on Christianity, clearly.
Yeah, since the 70s. So they're just making things up. Like, they're, again, it's like one of those things where, what is it? The things that conservatives make up are just way cooler than what right. actual reality yeah. is happening.
The Joe Biden that is the one that makes up these rules is a way better president than the actual Joe Biden that we have.
Yeah, 81 or was it 81 or 82 year old Catholic Joe Biden.
Right.
Is going to really spit in the face of Christianity. Screw off. Like,
and it's such a religious thing, right? The Easter egg hunt. So clearly rooted in Christianity.
As I eat my pagan egg that's been on that's the ground.
Been yeah outside for probably 2 days.
Also, I love that, like, how many times he's been trying to say the word gaslighting, but like,
yeah, he learned that word recently.
Right. So, like, but it's like, oh, they're just gaslighting us. They're just trying to make this about them on this supposed coincidence. What do you mean coincidence? It is a coincidence. It happened to fall on this every year. It's on March 31st. You're the guys who change the date every year. Oh,
it just the persecution complex when it comes to conservative Christianity in this country is out of control. Instead of selling Bibles, you need to sell them their own crosses that they can climb up on.
Oh my God.
Nail themselves to.
Jesus, man.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? It's hard to get any word in with this clown.
So let's talk about Wisconsin's election. This may be a little localized for some people, but I want to actually make this a broader segment with, we'll use Wisconsin's election results, but I think I can make a larger point with it. And that's why I want to really talk about.
And Wisconsin is generally considered to be a bellwether state when it comes to politics, where
we're more important than you. So listen to us. All right.
As goes Wisconsin, parts of the country tend to follow. We'll say that way, at least politically.
So let's start with the GOP primary. Now, granted, like, there were no real actual surprises in any of the primaries, but we had Donald Trump at 79% of the vote, Nikki Haley at 13%, Ron DeSantis at 3%, and uninstructed at 2%. And that was about 13,000 votes. I think legitimately having Donald Trump, granted, I know technically this was still at the contested-esque primary, but it's over, right? The fact that Donald Trump at this point in the election or in the primary is still struggling to get 80% of the vote, I think is a good sign for Biden and a good sign for Democrats.
Yeah, that 13% would still vote for Nikki Haley, even though she dropped out a month ago.
Right. And obviously, like, the DeSantis voters are going to go to Trump anyway, but I bet there are a couple of DeSantis voters that are still like, I want crazy Trump, but I don't want Trump itself, right?
And uninstructed, in case you're wondering, uninstructed delegation would mean sending delegates to the convention with no instructions to vote for anyone that they would have to make up their mind at the convention.
Right. On the Democratic side, we have Joe Biden with 88% of the vote and uninstructed at 8%. Just over 48,000 people voting uninstructed.
Myself included.
And then Dean Phillips at 18,000 votes or 3%. Goodbye, Dean. We're done with you.
Well, he could have said that right after he announced.
So let's talk about the uninstructed campaign now. There was a heavy push by Our Revolution, which is the former PAC that helped Bernie Sanders back in 2016 and 2020, that helped launch the new PAC, Listen to Wisconsin, where I bet you probably got some mailers yourself. No?
Not that I'm aware of.
I should have saved them because I got a bunch of mailers to tell me to vote uninstructed.
See, I had no idea about this campaign.
You're just not as Democrat as I am. You're not as liberal, bro. You don't have cred.
I will admit, I'm not as liberal Democrat as Joe.
Yeah.
So I just went into it knowing that, again, as we talked about many times on the show, this is the time for your protest vote. This is the time to send a message during the primary. And I knew that while I will be voting for Joe Biden in the general election, that I was not going to vote for him in this primary.
Right.
So that's all it boiled down to. I wasn't aware of any specific organized campaign, anything like that. But
this was the same thing that was done in Michigan that we talked about earlier, and in a bunch of other states that have had their primaries as well.
Generally, the point of it is to send a message.
It's to send a message, right.
The handling of the Israel-Palestine conflict and the support of Israel and giving them weapons to conduct the genocide.
Right. So what I have right now is actually an interview from Heba Mohammed, who actually I worked with on the 2020 Joe Biden campaign. She is now one of the lead organizers for Listen to Wisconsin, which led this uninstructed movement campaign. So we're going to see what she said, what her goals were for this, and see if they actually met those goals.
So as a Palestinian American, as a Wisconsinite, I can't stand by in good conscience and let President Biden continue with this policy in Palestine, in Gaza, that has led to the murders of over 30,000 Palestinians. Those are my family members. Those are people that I care about deeply. And as someone who believes in human rights, I can't let that go on in our names and with our tax dollars.
I was going to say, what is your goal here on Tuesday? What percentage of Democrats would you like to vote uninstructed?
We're looking to get 20,000 votes. And the reason for that is the margin of victory that won Wisconsin for Joe Biden in 2020. We're hoping to get at least 15% of the vote statewide and within specific congressional districts to gain delegates for the DNC in Chicago this summer.
In a state like this that is so close and so pivotal, is a no vote for Biden a yes vote for Trump?
I don't think so. I think the only person here who is making it possible for Donald Trump to win is Joe Biden himself. He's not taking our demands seriously, and people are likely to stay home than to turn out in November if he doesn't change course. And so if Joe Biden is concerned about Donald Trump winning, if Joe Biden is concerned about what Democrats are saying across the country that they don't want Trump to win, then I think the responsibility is up to him to change course so that folks can support him in November if they choose to do so.
Is there a scenario where you vote uninstructed Tuesday and then vote for Biden in November?
Personally, no. I will not be doing that.
And people you talk to?
I've heard different perspectives on that. There are some people who would be willing to consider voting for Joe Biden come November who are very committed to voting uninstructed in April. Again, it depends on whether or not he's able to meet our demands.
What does your ballot look like then in November? Who do you vote? How do you vote?
Yeah, that's something I still have to consider for myself and my values here. But I know that at this point, for me personally, Joe Biden is a non-starter.
So I have a lot to say about that clip. But let's start with the facts first. So Hebet wanted to get 20,000 votes, and they more than doubled it. They almost got 50,000, which is almost double the margin that Joe Biden won in 2020. So I think that is a statement upon itself, is that, hey, in a state as close as Wisconsin, you better realize that it's going to be tough without these votes. And I think that's what Hebet said in the early parts of that interview. She also mentioned that she wanted 20% of the delegates statewide so they could have some delegates in the DNC. In Chicago. By Wisconsin statute, you needed actually 15% to make those delegates, and they only hit 8%. So, as a statement, let's start with this. Was this successful in your opinion? And do you think this will make a difference in November?
So, I think those two are the same question. Was it successful as far as getting votes? Yes. They got 48,000 votes, probably more than anyone expected. Was it successful? Well, that depends on, does it push the Biden administration to change their position when it comes to Israel? And we don't know that yet. It did seem like Heba was pretty much already set in her position, which at that point, then I don't understand. You're not trying to change anything. You're not trying to send a message.
You're just not supporting
Biden. Right. Like it's over with already. That's fine. I'm certainly not going to say she's wrong, but it seemed to be at odds with the idea of this campaign. The whole point is to try to convince the Biden administration that if they want to win this election, they are going to have to change their position when it comes to Israel and Gaza. To say that nothing could change that.
Well, specifically, Joe Biden is a non-starter.
Right. Then what's the point? If Joe Biden next week comes out in full favor of a ceasefire and says we won't give any funding to Israel until they stop this conflict, and that doesn't change your mind, then what's the point?
Why would he do it?
Right.
Why would he risk other votes to do that then? And that's where I get really annoyed and very angry, because I intentionally included Heba's initial response about why she's voting the way she is, because I wanted to give her give everyone the exact reason why she's doing it. And I am fully supportive of that reasoning. I think that is a perfectly valid and justified way to go about this. With that said, I think as someone who has worked with Heba in the past, who knows what it's like to work in politics, she knows that when you say things like you're a non-starter, I'm not going to vote for you no matter what, you're going to push him to the right anyway. And that's what we're seeing. We just talked about this earlier with the Nikki Haley voters. There's 13% of Nikki Haley voters in Wisconsin right now. Those are not all going to Joe Biden. We know that for a fact. But we do know that a bunch of those voters do not want to vote for Donald Trump and then may consider Joe Biden as a vote in November. I saw a bunch of friends who are also part of this campaign, just in my own personal anecdotal circles, who got really angry with the Biden campaign, saying that he's selling out all his principles, all his progressive and Democratic principles, that they should never vote for Joe Biden ever again because he's trying to court Nikki Haley voters. And it makes me so pissed, because I'm like, you're doing politics wrong. You need to show them that you can get their, or that they can get your support. And if you close the door, they're going to find other people instead. That's how politics works. That's how Joe Biden's going to work. The reason why he hasn't done this yet is because he thinks that there are other people out there who are more supportive of Israel than they are of Palestine. And you know what? I don't fully even disagree with that, although it's getting worse and worse and worse for Israel, by the way. But we need to understand that as progressives, we also live in a bubble, and that a lot of Americans do not know and do not care the way we do. And Joe Biden tends to do that type of stuff. So to alienate the Biden campaign by saying, we're just not going to vote for you at all, you're going to push him further to the right. At best, you're going to push him further to the right. At the worst, you are going to elect Donald Trump as president.
Right.
It makes me even angrier knowing that when we were working together in the Biden campaign, I know she made that exact counter argument that we're going to make right now, which is, if you don't vote for Joe Biden, you're going to elect Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And now she's just on air to get her point across.
And I would even get from her perspective why she has to say that, as far as she has to at least show that she is committed. Unless this changes, unless our policy towards Israel and Gaza changes, that she is committed to not voting for Joe Biden. I get that, right? Even if you don't believe it, like,
you have to say it, right?
Right.
Like, why on earth would anyone take you seriously,
right,
if you're saying, hey, we're gonna all vote this, right, way in April, send a message, but we're we're actually all going to vote for him in November anyway.
Yeah, I can say that because I'm not part of, you know, her organization and not trying, no one's going to listen to me either way.
Right.
But yes, I can see from her perspective why she would have to say that. But then to just say, like, there's zero chance that she is going to support Joe Biden in November, regardless of what happens between now and then.
Right.
I don't see the point in that.
And that's what makes it just so frustrating, because again, this is exactly how we're going to get Donald Trump again elected.
Right. And he is going to be worse on Israel and Gaza. His only critique of Israel, which happened recently, was they're not getting it done fast enough.
Right. And I'm so, dude, maybe I'm just too privileged and you can call me out on this, because I want to be like honest here.
With your Arizona State University hoodie on.
I know, right? I'm so absolutely sick of my progressive friends who I know are, again, justifiably frustrated and angry. Try to tell me that Donald Trump's not going to be as bad as Joe Biden. I am so sick of it that they're trying to pretend that the last Trump administration didn't just absolutely destroy tons of things that we hold dear. And then they're going to try to tell me that it's actually not going to be that bad for the LGBTQ community. Because you know that's what it was. It's not actually going to be that bad for women's rights. Because you know what happened. And you're going to sit here and tell me that you're still not going to vote for Joe Biden in the general election. It really is hard for me. Again, as a straight white guy, I want to check myself. But it's really hard for me to say, number one, if you're a part of those marginalized communities, you're literally giving those marginalized communities the middle finger. You do not care about those communities if you're going to let Donald Trump become elected in November. I'm sorry. I do not care if you are LGBTQ yourself. You are giving the middle finger to other LGBTQ people if you let Donald Trump get elected in November. If you say you're an ally of any of those people, which is what I try to say I am, you are not an ally if you let Donald Trump get elected. You can be pissed. You can fight Joe Biden tooth and nail on every single facet. And then when it comes time to vote, you make a strategic decision to vote for the lesser of two evils, because that's the system we have right now. And then once Joe Biden gets elected, you go right back at it. But then to just wave it off like, Donald Trump's going to get elected president again, whatever.
It's Joe Biden's fault.
Shows me you do not give a shit. And I lose respect for you as that, especially for those who are highly involved in political circles, who should know better.
Yeah, every single thing that you're going to critique Joe Biden on from the left,
Donald Trump's way worse.
Yes. So what are you accomplishing
right
at the end of the day?
Right.
Making things worse for the exact issues that you care about.
And don't try to just, we're going to have, I know, a lot more episodes about this, and we're just going to keep doing this over and over again. But don't try to justify by voting third party. Ugh. You know, if I vote for third party, it's voting my conscience. No, you know what's going to happen.
We saw this in 2016.
Right.
This is just a replay of that election. You know, as much as I want to agree that Hillary Clinton was a bad candidate, I still voted for her at the end of the day. And everyone else that, you know, just I can't bring myself to it. I can't do it. That's why Donald Trump was elected president. No one thought he had a chance. Don't repeat that, because it's going to be worse.
Right.
He already saw what happened when he accidentally had some competent people in his administration that pushed back against him. He's not going to make that mistake again.
Right. So you made your point. So you made your statement. You scared the hell out of Joe Biden. I'm hoping.
Hopefully.
I'm hoping. And you can keep saying it, because guess what? You're scaring the hell out of me too. So it's working. But come November, please vote for Joe Biden.
Hold your nose. Settle for Biden 2.0.
And then push.
It's because the alternative is so much worse.
Right. And then push after that, right? That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's not just Joe Biden. It's also keep voting for more progressive candidates in other races down ballot.
Yes.
Then we will get things like student debt cancellation through this time. And we will get things like child tax credit passed. We won't have people like Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin in charge. Or if they are there, their votes won't matter, because we have enough of a majority of good, actual progressive Democrats in office where those things are possible.
Correct.
And we're going to have a whole episode about voting progressives voting for Joe Biden once again. That's going to come. We're going to do that one a little closer to the election. But until then, you're still going to get all of these tirades and rants about it, because it just does not make sense to do anything else. And I don't understand even people that are more progressive than me, that know more about the issues than I do, that I respect a hell of a lot. I hear them say stupid things when it comes to this topic, and I just don't understand it.
I agree. But you hit the nail right on the head, because people who are also going out to vote uninstructed had no clue about a bunch of the other races that are happening, right? We had two statewide referendums that were literally based on a conspiracy theory. And this is the Mark Zuckerbucks.
Getting private funding out of our elections.
Right.
Dark money. I love to hear conservative Republican lawmakers who get money from dark money PACs
talking about
getting dark money out of politics.
We talked about this when it was super popular back near 2020. Like, we were discussing this before. And now there are two constitutional amendments because, for as a heads up, we can't just do referendums by the public in Wisconsin willy-nilly. It has to be approved by our legislature, which is hardcore Republican still because it's still extremely gerrymandered, which will hopefully get a little bit fixed in the future after 2024. But now, because of that, we had two crazy referendums that were intentionally worded insanely confusingly. I'm sure
they always have because, right. And just always know this, it's the state legislature that writes these. So we have an extremist Republican state legislature. They write these referendums in the most confusing terms, and it's extremely biased
right.
towards their perspective.
Right, exactly. So those both passed. You had a progressive mayor up north Wisconsin in Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, who lost her election. We talked about that, I think, in 2020 as well, to an extreme right-wing conservative out there. You had a bunch of school boards that had extremely crazy candidates run for school boards, and they won in Wisconsin. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about electing progressives to local races and not just worrying about this one particular issue, these are what's going to make more of a difference in your lives than what Joe Biden's going to do.
They didn't even have anyone running against the crazy right-wing school board members here in Muskego. A write-in campaign that I heard about that somebody got like less than 200 votes, but that was it. Otherwise, there was no one who was even centrist running for the school board in Muskego.
Right. So, and even on that as well, because I just want to get this in there before we run out of time. So far in 2024, we've had 103 referendums for funding from 93 different school districts this year alone. That's insane. Only 65% of those actually passed. One of those being the big MPS referendum,
which is going to be honestly unfortunate to a lot of people in Milwaukee because it's going to raise their property taxes significantly.
Right.
And this is all due, again, to the Republican-led legislature who refuses to release any of the billions and billions of dollars in budget surplus that they've been sitting on like dragons with their hoard of gold waiting for a Republican governor so they can try to abolish public schools.
Yes. So this is what we're talking about. I mean, again, I don't want you to say focus your time away from Joe Biden, but there is plenty of local things that you should also be focusing on. If you don't know who's on your damn school board, or if you don't know who your mayor is, and you're complaining about what Joe Biden is doing or not doing, you have your priorities mixed up. And that's where I really want to just make the broader statement with this whole thing, with the election here. So many people treat politics just like a little hobby, where they want to get worked up and freaked out and angry and emotional about it. Fine. But then when it comes to any actual civic duty or civic service or volunteering, or even just knowing what is happening in your own communities, they blank because they don't care. Elections like this are super important, not because of just the presidency. And we need to stop pretending that the presidency is the only thing that matters.
Now, we do, of course, want to give a shout out to former guest of our show, Michael Johnson, who did win re-election for the Cudahy School Board.
Progressive candidate who also staved off a crazy Mark Levin loving, like Fox News hoarding obsessed guy who talks nothing about nothing besides DEI and CRT all day long. That's what I'm talking about, right? Like, there was a good progressive candidate that got out there, got his message across, got people involved with what's going on, and stopped a crazy right winger from taking over the schools. That's how we prevent things from going really bad in this country. It's the small election. And even then, I don't know if you saw it as well, but they still tried to do the whole stop the steal stuff. I don't know if you saw that.
With the MPS referendum that we were talking
there about. There were absentee ballots last night. Obviously, absentee ballots are usually counted last.
They have to be by law.
Right.
They can't be counted until the election is over.
By a law that which party supported, Jason?
Right.
Wasn't the Democratic Party. And now they use it as a way to say that the elections were always rigged towards liberals. I don't know, man. I'm just getting angry, but like, come November, pay attention to everything that's on your ballot.
Yeah, be informed before you go into the booth to cast your vote. Understand what's going on. You can find, that's what my vote, WI, if you live in Wisconsin, otherwise I'm sure you can find it for your individual area or state. Look at what's going to be on the ballot before you go vote and research what that actually means. You have referendum questions, they're confusing, you don't understand what they mean, look it up.
And if you want, I mean, depending on what state you live in, request an absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm. I now vote absentee in every election.
It's so much more convenient to vote absentee and just have it mailed to you, because literally what you can do is have your ballot out there right next to you, and then with your laptop, just look up every candidate in every race that you want to be involved in.
Or your desktop. We don't want to discriminate.
Or your phone. I don't care. We embrace inclusion of the tech variety.
Maybe here. Your tablet.
No, we don't. We don't.
It's I don't, too far.
I don't want those types. Wait, you're going to tell me about the Kindles next? Screw you. I'm done. No, but that's all I'm saying. It's just
be informed.
I need people to be informed. And it's just, it frustrates me, Jason, when I have very smart people who are making very dumb choices and very dumb, or like you said, are saying very dumb things online that's influencing other people to do other dumb things. So that's Wisconsin's election for you. It was fine. Everything's fine. I will say overall, though, like, it's still neck and neck in Wisconsin, as far as I can tell. I have like an article from Wisconsin right now that talks about, like, regardless of what the liberal media tries to tell you, tonight was terrible for Biden, great for Trump. No, it wasn't. Republicans are just completely fractured right now. They don't know what's going on. I don't know if you know, but the Wisconsin GOP is just completely in shambles right now. And they're running a mustache for a Senate candidate in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Ivy League Jeff Foxworthy.
Right. I like that. That's good. I mean, as of right now, all the polls in Wisconsin are pretty neck and neck. There are polls that are showing Joe Biden's up by a couple points. There are polls that are showing Trump is up by a couple points. It's close, you guys. We're officially a toss-up state here. And we need all the help we can get. And we can't let any person make a very stupid choice and let Donald Trump become president in 2024.
Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively.